I am learning to lean on Jesus. Let the church say amen. God is good, and all the time, God is good. The scripture was read for your hearing from the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 1 through 11. I want to just make an observation there that, you know, it takes a lot of spunk to challenge Jesus. But I want you to know the devil is that kind of person. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. He presented challenges to Jesus. We're going to talk about Satan tempted Jesus. He will try to tempt us also. He will try us because he figures he has the power over us. He will try us because some of us are weak. He will try us because some of us are so unconcerned about our spiritual and our soul salvation that he can win us over. But if you're smart, you won't let him challenge you too much. You'll learn to fight. You'll use the power. You'll learn to lean, just like we just were singing about. So this morning, before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous God, O heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of this day. Father, we know that we will never see this day anymore in our lifetimes. We thank you, Father, that we have been blessed to see it this time, though. Father, we thank you so much for so much, and you give us everything. We thank you for the twinkling of our eyelids this morning that brought us back to life from our sleep and slumber. We thank you for the food that we had or chose not to have this morning. We thank you for clothing to wear and a building to come to out of the cold. We thank you for the church that stands here at 84th and Stony Island, and we pray for each and every member here. We pray also, Father, for their families that they may all come to know you, Father. Father, we pray for the leadership here and their families that they might continue to lead us as we go forward. Father, we thank you for the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, and we pray for their families and that they may be strengthened also. Father, we pray and thank you for those who are sick and shut in. We just pray that if it be your will, O Lord, that you would grant unto them healing, that they may be able to come out to be with us at the next appointed time or when you so choose to allow them to. Father, we thank you for the parents that are raising their children this morning. We just pray and ask you to give them strength, courage, and wisdom to go on. Father, we thank you for those who may be still headed this way. We pray for their safe passage. We pray for those who are traveling today that they might have safety to and from their destinations as well. We pray, O Heavenly Father, and thank you for so many things that, Father, sometimes all we can say and the best that we can do is simply say thank you. Thank you for everything, O Lord. Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus, whom you sent to this world to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we may have the opportunity to the tree of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that one day, Father, we're all going to leave here, and we just pray that once we leave here, that on that day, great getting up day, that we can be with you in your kingdom, which is in heaven, O Lord. We just thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything you do for us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask it all and say amen. Today I would like for us to talk about a subject that should be something all of us risk exposure to, and that is temptation. Not the singing group, not the temptations, but temptation. But think of what Satan dangles at us to entice Christians away from, and many times it works. He tried it on Jesus and he failed, but you can bet he will also try it on us. For many of us, he started the day out by telling us, why don't you just simply stay in bed and skip church today? Get yourself some rest. And I'm so glad it did not work on those of you who are here today. Above all, just remember when he brings us to the door of temptation, whatever we may be going through, Jesus can help us get through it so that you yield not to it. We already know that Satan is an excellent hunter and a trapper. But watch Jesus through the word of God this morning. In verse chapter 4 of Matthew, the first verse, the Bible says, then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus was tempted. We already know how that Jesus was close to God. Satan knew of his power and the joy of his fellowship he had with God. We need to become aware that when we get closest to God, that's when Satan becomes really active toward us. Notice he came to Jesus after he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, as verse number 2 states to us. And he was hungry. He attempted to trap Jesus at what he figured to be a weak moment. For many of us, victory over food is a marvelous feat. Jesus had went for 40 days and 40 nights. That's almost a month and a half. 6 weeks, if you will. 40 minutes is about the limit for most of us before we are ready to eat again. In verse number 3, Satan is referred to as the tempter, tempting us with those things we desire. He tries to seduce us, our pride, that we might turn away from God. When Satan can cause, especially one who is a Christian, to turn his back on God, that is an awful moment. Your temptational moment may be different than that of Jesus, but it's more important on how one reacts than what the temptation is. He thought he could tempt Jesus because he was hungry. Yours may be because of money. Your temptational moment may be because of money, the opposite sex, or even in today's world, young children. The question becomes, are you able to withstand the temptations that Satan will throw your way? There's little doubt that when we become new Christians, we are full of fire. But he knows that all it takes is a few of his fiery darts, and that may change our mind. The scripture tells us in James chapter 4 and verse number 7, to submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is what Jesus was doing in our text. Let us look at the text here now. I'll pick up at number 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up unto a holy city, into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear up thee up, lest any that time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him the kingdom, him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, to him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. So the question becomes now, how was Jesus tempted? One of the greatest tactics Satan has over us is that of doubt. In verse number 3, he said, "If thou be the Son of God." With man, this may cause him to think, or sometimes it may cause one to doubt. Even church members doubt sometimes. Sometimes they doubt that the Church of Christ is the only church that Jesus built. Maybe you have heard of the many questions, or maybe you have heard the many who question these facts that the Bible describes. For our evidence that the church is the only church that Jesus built, Matthew 16 and 18 says the builder is Christ. In Acts 20 and verse number 28, it speaks of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And then in Ephesians 5, where Christ is called the head of the church. Yet with these proofs, many say that doesn't mean that there is only one church. That's how Satan causes doubt for some new or even some weak believers or even non-believers. Christians are sometimes so tempted that they may doubt that God is real. Some doubt the word of God to be true. They start to speak about the word of God, not meaning what it says. Some say these are gray areas so they can match up to what they want it to mean instead of what God intended it to mean. For instance, some question, the word of God doesn't mean I need to be at church every Sunday, does it? Yes, it does, according to Hebrews 10 and 25. When the church assembles, you need to be there, for it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. That word not tells me if the doors are open, guess what? We need to be there. Or we need to be here, and they should be open on what day? The first day of the week, according to Acts 20 and 7. And in that instance, Paul preached to them until midnight. Be thankful and promise the Lord we don't stay here till midnight. I could see many of you falling asleep if we stayed here past 12 o'clock or 12:30 in the afternoon. But Paul preached until midnight. He finished at midnight, did he not, church? That's what the scripture says. So sometimes I wonder if we let out too soon in the church, or maybe we should stay just a little bit longer sometime. That the church is the one that Jesus built, and if Jesus built it, it should be all right for you to sit in for a little while. Christians, when they get tempted, they begin to count what they consider, what they begin to call, what they can call it, a gray area. Just remember, if Satan has the gall to try to tempt Jesus, he will certainly try on us too. No matter what we are tempted to do or not do, Jesus has already been there. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 18, he himself has suffered being tempted. Therefore, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Jesus was tempted before we were, and yet he survived and he passed it with flying colors. Look what the text says again in verse number 5. Then the devil taketh him up unto a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. He tried to tempt Jesus, first of all, with food, because Jesus was hungry. And then he tried to tempt him with power. He tried all he could to tempt Jesus away from serving the Lord. When you think about it, you say to yourself sometime, oh, that can't happen to me. I suggest you be a little bit more careful. Satan works on our weakness. For some, it may be money. For some, it may be the opposite sex, as I told you before. Some, it's the lure of food or whatever your weak link may be. He tempted Jesus with it already. He tempted Jesus with world power in verses number 8 and verse number 9. Watch verse 8. Again, the devil taking him up unto an exceeding high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, most men love power. And I'm not excluding women. Some women love it too, but I just use men in general. Most men love power, and many would have fallen for this temptation. But Jesus already had power. He was able to stand in one place and look all over the world at the same time. He can cause the daylight to shine over here and the nighttime to shine over there at the same time. Now that's power. He can stand with one foot in the AM and the other foot in the PM. That's power. So the question becomes, how did Jesus respond to Satan? Every temptation Jesus offered Satan, every temptation Satan offered Jesus, he simply answered with the word of God. Jesus said in verse number 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In verse number 7, Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In verse number 10, Jesus left the example of how we can answer Satan when we are tempted. Look at verse number 10. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. That's the example for us. When Satan is on you, you need some help. And I know what happens when Satan gets on some of us. Some of us just simply give in. And when we give in, we are saying, I give up, Satan. You can have me. The results we all should be looking for is the devil left him. So that's what we should be looking for. How can we get these results? Through reading and studying the Word of God. Through praying always. To letting the Holy Spirit be your guide, for He is our comforter. If we allow Satan to tempt us, the results can cause us to miss heaven, miss fellowship with the Father and the Savior, Jesus Christ. More importantly, we risk the chance of eternity in the burning fires of hell. Wouldn't you rather have eternal life in heaven rather than burn in hell? I think that we all would. When we look at this text and we consider what it says there in verse number 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Now I say unto you this morning, when he comes to you, oh, and he will come. When he comes to you, remember what Jesus said. He used the word of God against Satan. The word of God is what can get us through Satan's fiery darts. Satan has many darts and many arrows that he can shoot at us. And we have to learn to duck, dodge, and pray to God for our salvation and our soul to be saved. Satan is not the one you want to follow. Satan is not the one who you need to be concerned about. When it comes to getting into heaven, you need to have a concern for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus died on yonder's cross that we may have the right to the tree of life. Now Satan is going to tell you, do you remember in Job chapter 1 how that Satan challenged God and challenged Job? Do you remember what God told Job? Do whatever you will, but just don't, Brother Jackson, he said, just don't kill him. Don't touch him. So when you think about it, if he tried somebody with the power already like Jesus, think what he will do for us. And you know he's a trapper. He can make the worst seem like it's the best you've ever had in your life. He can make you think that this is all right. And I need to be with this. I need to be doing this or be over there instead of over here. He can make you wake up on a Sunday morning and say, I'm not going to church this morning. If it's warm outside, I've got to wax my car. If it's cold outside, it's too cold and I don't feel like getting up out of bed this morning. He'll make you say these kinds of things. He'll make you think these thoughts and he'll give you these ideas. And he'll make you turn over and turn the TV on and say, I'm just not going today. But yet that same one will tell you it's all right to get up and go tomorrow morning, which is Monday morning. He'll tell you you need to get up and go out there. And then he'll get you to the job. And some of us, and I speak from experience, some of us, when we get on the job, we act everything but like a child of God. Some of the things that come out of our mouths, some of the things that we do, some of the things that we say, some of the ways that we act, we're not walking in the righteous manner. When I think about it, I look back at my days at work and I know I wasn't always the best child of God that I should have been. I realized many things that were weak about me. But I thank God that through the study of His Word, I'm not there yet, but I thank Him for through the study of God's Word, I can learn to be better. And if you learn to be better, you can learn to do better. And if you do better, you'll be all right. Now I say this morning, that when I look back at this text again and I see all that Satan tried on Jesus, I look at verse number 1, for instance, then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Now Jesus was a hungry man. But nevertheless, he wasn't caught up with Satan's temptation. He resisted the temptation. In verse number 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus has a way of putting Satan in his place. Do you have a way of putting Satan in his place? The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So when I think about it, and I consider all that God has done for us, don't you owe more to God than you do to Satan? When you think about how much you actually owe God, you owe God your very life, your soul salvation. That's why I may as well throw this on in here. When it comes to giving at the church, you need to give all that you can give, not all that you think you have to give, but all that you can give. You see, when you give, you're never going to repay God for what He's done for you. You can't, you don't have enough money. And I know everybody is tempted by the lottery today. I may as well go there. With all that money that's out there, with all that money that they're dangling in front of you, I can see a Church of Christ member winning all that money and then bringing the church $10. And then saying, I gave. I'm going to tell you something. Don't be caught up in the lure of big money. Big money is just big troubles. Little money equals little troubles. And if you got a little money, your troubles will seem big, but they won't be as big as if you have big money. So all I'm saying is, when you come to church and give to the church, you are giving your money back to the church. You are giving it to the Lord. You're not giving it to Brother Jackson. You're not giving it to Brother Burnside. You're not giving it to Brother Carter. You're giving it to the church for the equipping of the saints in the work of serving the Lord. I may as well throw this on out there. Last year, Brother Jackson, how many times did we make budget last year? 15 times out of 52 times. That ought to tell you something. We need to do better. If it tells you nothing else, it tells you we need to do better. And how do we do better? Well, dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. Our budget is not so high that we can't make it. Our budget is a moderate amount, and we need to do better. Now, if we can do better, we can fix things up better. We can draw in more people, perhaps. But we got to do better. See, if we don't do better for ourselves, then how are others going to say that we're doing better? How are they going to see that we're doing better? 15 times out of 52 times. Now, I'm not good at math, but I know that doesn't equal very much, percentage-wise. 52 would be 100%, and we got 15. Well, you do the math. It's not enough. We need to dig a little bit more deeper in our pockets. You know, if the Lord charged us for what He's done for us, many of us would have a long credit account with Him at the rate we're going. But I'm saying unto you this morning, give, 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 because the Lord has already given unto us. He's taught us from this lesson this morning how to resist Satan just by using the Word of God. He's taught us to not allow food to be our weak spot. And I know we'd like to eat. I like to eat. A matter of fact, I've told you before and I'll tell you again, every month my family has a soul food. And I eat like I'm crazy sometimes. But I'll tell you something about it. I give the best that I can do. And if I see that I can give more, I'll give more back to the Lord for allowing me to be able to eat. God will take care of us if we take care of Him. God will give us more than we deserve. He already has given us more than we deserve. But we just keep on, keep on, keeping on. And let God be our guide. Let the Bible be our guide. And once we let the Bible be our guide, and the Bible does say that we should give, because the Lord loves, guess what? A cheerful giver. And if you're going to be mad when you give the church whatever you're giving them, that's not being a cheerful giver, is it? Now, being a cheerful giver means that I'm going to give this and I'm going to be good, glad about giving it. It means that I'm going to give this and I'm going to be all right with giving this. I'm not going to go home and say, I shouldn't have gave all of that. I'll let my creditors sulk for a while if I have to. But just give. Because God has given unto us. He has taught us many valuable lessons. And this lesson today, He taught us to use the Word of God. In all of our lessons from the Bible, Jesus teaches us. The Word of God is all right. The Bible is God's Word, directions to us to get to heaven. And when we open the Word of God, We should take time to read it with understanding. And if you need understanding, if you need wisdom, ask God who gives. God will give you wisdom and understanding if you just simply but ask. If you're not a member of the Lord's body today, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Even though it's cold outside, Brother Jackson would be happy to baptize anybody here today. And if you've already been baptized but you've walked astray, you need to come back to God, ask the church to pray, ask God to forgive you, ask the church to pray for you. Start the year off right by becoming a better Christian in 16 than you were in 15. If this be your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.